From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Craig, listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Craig.
Hi, how are you doing? My question is, my 24-year-old daughter is a Christian but struggling a little bit with her faith, and one of the questions she gave me and to think about, and I don't want to give her a pat answer, so I want to get a little more insight, but she said, what if I wasn't born in a Christian family or I was born in the Middle East? How would I know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven that separates me from heaven and hell? And how's that fair? Is that not like a parent lottery? You're just lucky wherever you're born. And I'm not quite sure how to answer her.
Well, I think, and I've pointed this out from time to time, one of the best ways is to take her to Acts, where Paul is at the Areopagus in Athens. And while he's there, he points to an unknown God and says, let me use that as an illustration of the God who created the heavens and the earth. And then he says, from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. Which is to say, no matter where we are born, we have the light of creation. So men are without excuse. Why? Because God's eternal power, divine nature, are understood through what has been made. So the heavens declaring the glory of God are available to all people everywhere. That's not a parochial or provincial kind of an idea. It is a universal idea. Everyone universally has access to the light of creation. But there's something more, and that is God has always written a knowledge of himself, as it were, in the DNA of human beings. So people have the knowledge internally just as they have the knowledge externally. The point being, then, is that if you seek after light, you will receive light. And therefore, I have often said, it is not the absence of knowledge that damns. It is the despising of knowledge that damns. Now, I didn't pick that out of thin air. That really is a maxim that comes from Christ, who's talking to Nicodemus. He said, light came into darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the problem is never that there's not enough light somewhere on the planet. The problem is that people despise the light and therefore remain in darkness. The other thing that I would say, though, in more of a general sense, is we can leave every single person in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God. So at the end of the day, what we do is we trust God to be perfectly just and perfectly merciful and loving for all people everywhere at all times. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Thomas in Branson, Missouri. Hi, Thomas.
Hi.
Hi.
I appreciate you taking my call.
It is my privilege.
I just had a real quick question.
Sure.
Basically, what I was wondering is, it's kind of like a two-part thing, but basically, what is it that makes Israel God's chosen people? And then also, I guess, who is true Israel? Because I've heard a lot of speculation as to who that is, as well as the new church replacing Israel, and so. That was my question.
So the first part of your question is that if you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. So you are chosen because you are in Christ. Why? Because Galatians 3 points out, Abraham had one royal seed. That royal seed is Jesus Christ. And again, if you are in Jesus Christ, you're the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. And what makes true Israel? Well, true Israel is every single person who is a friend of God in both covenants. So true Israel encapsulates Rahab, who is a Canaanite, or Ruth, who is a Moabite. It encompasses all those who are friends of God, one chosen people, one covenant community, beautifully connected by the cross, and illustrated by Paul as a cultivated olive tree. Again, all who are in Christ are true Israel. And that's why Jesus can say there's true and false Israel. There are those who say they are Jews, but they are a synagogue of Satan, says Jesus Christ. Not all who say they are Jews in the sense of being true Israel. So it simply has nothing whatsoever to do with ethnicity. It has everything to do with a relationship with Yahweh, the God of Israel, ultimately revealed in Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Lawrence in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Lawrence.
How you doing today, sir?
Doing okay.
I love your show.
Thank you.
My question is, I'm really trying to do better at Bible study and just kind of starting out. I'm wondering, what are the best books to read first?
You know, one of the things that I always tell people, Lawrence, is that you cannot understand the Bible as a whole without understanding its individual parts, nor its individual parts without understanding the Bible as a whole. So I think one of the most helpful things to do is get sort of the big picture, what's going on. And the big picture in Scripture is that God creates humanity. Humanity falls into lives of perpetual sin, terminated by death, and then the rest of the Bible is God's unfolding plan of redemption, culminating in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So that's the big picture. Paradise lost becomes paradise restored. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, touches the fall or the fallen Edenic garden. And he also touches the eternal garden, and he becomes the one who, through the cross, takes what was lost and restores it, paradise lost becoming paradise restored. So that's the big picture. Now, if you want to really get a sense of who Christ is, I love starting with the Gospel of John. And I like it because John is such an incredible author. And what he does is he gives you sort of the main and the plain things with respect to Christ in thematic order, not chronological order, but in themes. And it's a beautiful book for, to use the word, baby Christians to engulf themselves in.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. That helps a lot.
You got it. And I think, too, one of the things I might be able to help you with is I have a reading plan. It's called a Legacy Bible Reading Plan. And that really teaches you how to read the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. It also breaks the Bible up into modules. So, for example, you know, when you read one author at the same time, it's very, very helpful because every author has his own style. So if you read Moses, the five books of Moses, it's good to read them together. If you read John, to read the five books of John is good to read together. So this legacy reading plan shows you how to read through the Bible in a year, but do it in such a way that you're not reading bits, but you're reading books and getting the gist of what the author is talking about. Now, that legacy reading plan is found on the web at equip.org. If you can access that, I also have that in a book which is titled Has God Spoken? And if I could recommend a book to you, a book that I have written that really gives you a sense of understanding God's imprimatur on the Bible and how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended, that book would do it. And it also has the legacy reading plan in the back of it for reference. So that might be some helpful aids as you learn to study the Bible in the sense in which it's intended.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go there right now and get that. Thank you so much. So much help.
You got it. And again, the book, Has God Spoken? You can find it on the web at equip.org, or you can simply order it at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Do remember, as always, our resource consultants, they are standing by at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. As we go to break, I want to mention CRI's monthly support team. It is the foundation of support for this ministry, a ministry that is carried on around the world 24/7. And we ask people to join CRI's monthly support team. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. When you join, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. Also, take a look at The Journal. It is our award-winning magazine. It's a subscription magazine. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Valerie listening in Gladstone, Missouri. Hi, Valerie.
Say hi.
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 Who made Earth?
Who made the Earth? Well, Valerie, you're getting to a question that gets right to the very first sentence in the Bible, in the beginning, God. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God created all things. And God himself is uncreated. So God has always existed, but the world came into existence at a point in time. What's interesting, Valerie, is that is not only something that we know from Scripture, but that's something that we know from science today as well, that the universe came into existence at a point in time. Years ago, there were people who believed that the universe was eternal, that it always existed. There were other people who had other views of the universe, but now we know, according to modern cosmology, that the universe had a beginning precisely as the Bible says again, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth.
Thank you.
You got it, Valerie. How old are you?
8.
Well, thank you for calling me today.
You're welcome.
Okay, bless you. Let's get back to the phone lines. Talk to Lance. He's listening in Garland, Texas, on the web. Hi, Lance.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question is about Zechariah 14:16. I'm just kind of wondering who the people who survive from all the nations who will come up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Booths, are they left over from the tribulation? I'm kind of confused on that.
No, and I don't think that you want to take this passage and import it into the 21st century. There's a sense in which you can say that this book, like all books of the Bible, speaks about what's going on in the contemporary circumstances and also then points us to eternal verities or the eternal state, as certainly Zechariah does in Zechariah chapter 14. But you have to remember that Zechariah is talking about a people already back in the land from exile, that the temple is in process of being rebuilt. And so Zechariah is prophesying a day of ultimate return from exile when Jesus comes. And he also sees the destruction of the present temple in the far future, and he predicts a time of ultimate vindication of true Israel in the final future, in the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. So the passage, go up to Jerusalem and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, is to put one's faith in Christ, or the types and shadows pointing forward to Christ. And those who do not will experience, as pointed out later on in the same chapter, around verses 18 and 19, they will experience the judgment of God. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Marissa, listening in Kirkland, Washington. Hi, Marissa.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my question.
You're welcome.
I have lately been reading in Psalm 119 quite a bit, and I was wondering, you know, the psalmist often refers to his love for the law and his love for God's word and revive me with your word and these sort of prayers. I was wondering if you could give me some insight on what the psalmist's understanding of God's word would have been in the Old Testament.
Well, I think a couple of things. One, it would have been the word as revealed at that time. But I think that we could also expand that to the fact that the psalmist would love his word in whatever epoch that word was given. And so though he did not live to see the coming of Jesus Christ and the actual words of Jesus Christ as he walked this earth and is chronicled in the Synoptic Gospels and John, he would have loved that as well. So David is talking about not only the law that has been given and the word that has been transmitted, but he loved fellowship with God and interacted with God in a very dynamic way, because he was a man whose heart panted after God and after God's word as a deer pants after the water brooks. So I think you could look at this in a provincial sense and a far more expanded sense as well.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Lynn. She's in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Hank. I am the grandmother of a small child. Her mother is my daughter, and my daughter married a young man who is atheist. But his mother was Jewish, and she's passed away now, and we want to honor her. They have my granddaughter enrolled, for example, in a Jewish daycare, and they celebrate more or less, you know, Passover and Shabbat and different things like that. As the grandmother of this young child, how can I model Christian behavior and still help my granddaughter honor her grandmother? I'm not quite sure how to walk the line.
Yeah, beautiful question and beautifully phrased. I think intuitively you probably know that you are walking a correct line right now, because you want to honor both her grandmother and you want her to learn about the faith once for all entrusted to the saints. And the way that you walk that line is you can use the feast days, and you can start bringing some not only historical context to them, because oftentimes within Jewish enclaves, you have the tradition, but the people don't really know what the tradition is all about. I was just playing golf with a Jewish friend, and he was talking about some of the conditions in the Old Testament, and he had a tradition in the present based on it, but he didn't really understand the Old Testament roots. So it was fun talking to him about that, and we had a great conversation in that regard. So I think that you can talk about Passover and really allow your granddaughter to understand it, and she's probably going to have a leg up, as it were, because of the context in which she is, but you can explain how Passover ultimately led to a Passover lamb, the quintessential Passover lamb. And, you know, then you have the beautiful passage in Hebrews that says that the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. Why? Because Jesus is the quintessential Passover lamb. So these are all teaching moments. And I think that rather than repelling, this is a wonderful opportunity to reach and to instruct, and to do it with gentleness and with respect. And in the process, you're going to learn and grow yourself.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. And thank you for your lovely question. Let's go right back to the phone lines and talk to Chad, listening in Sunshine Coast, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Chad.
Hi, Hank. I really appreciate your show. Thank you very much for your ministry. My question pertains to Revelation chapter 21, where they talk about the stones in the New Jerusalem and the wall that they're building. And I've done a little bit of research. I found out like the amethyst means like sobriety. And I just like to know if there's any way that I could get any information on the other 11 stones.
Yeah, sure. One of the things, though, that I think is important is to read Revelation 21 in the sense in which it is intended. So the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband, is an analogy for the full complement of God's people. God himself will be with us. He will be our God. We will be his people. And so the New Jerusalem shines, right? And it's like a precious jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. So the idea is that you have an analogy for the people of God, both Jew and Gentile. So you have the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of the Lamb in the analogy. And then you also have the 12 stones, and the stones are laid out in four rows of three gems. and it is very much analogous to what you find on the high priest's breastplate. I think one of the things that is very, very helpful in the Christian tradition that goes all the way back to the early church is God using earthly, empirical, perceptible realities to understand eternal verities. And this is precisely what's going on. And that's why in many churches, like the Orthodox churches with a big O, the vestments that the presbyters wear are analogies of something that you can know about God and about His purpose and plan for your life. I'm going to have to leave it at that. As always, we close this broadcast by thanking so many of you for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Remember, what you do counts not only for time, but also for eternity. And remember the words of our Lord, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And we do believe those standing with us are doing precisely that. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.